Clive Brooks, Coventry Hospital Radio.
Yeah, the Coventry Blitz. It happened on November the 14th, 1940. It's a night echoed in Coventry's hearts forever. The sound of the air raid sirens, the glow of fire across the skyline, and the incredible courage shown by those who lived through it, what became known as the Moonlight Sonia. During these days, someone who has worked tirelessly to ensure that those who lost their lives that night are remembered, not just as names, but as people with stories, families and dreams. She's the author of a moving new book called The 14th of November 1940 A to Z. I got to admit, I forgot to read it before you came in, so I'm really sorry. So you're going to have to tell me all about it, Grace. It's a great pleasure to me to welcome Grace Bullingham to the show. Grace, lovely to have you with me. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. See, easy, innit? You ain't going to be worried. I tell ya. Saying, Grace, let me start at the beginning. So what inspired you to take on such a powerful and emotional project?
Yeah, so I was at university and I took a placement year and worked with lots of businesses and charities. And one of the places I worked at was Coventry Cathedral. And I did a lot of photographs for them because I did my degree in photography. And then obviously I worked closely with the Blitz Museum. And it was there that like I saw all the names and that sort of thing and wanted to research it and find out more about the people and give them more of a story.
Which is brilliant. I've just picked up the book now and it is like, hey, it's an A to Z, isn't it? So it's huge undertaking, documenting the lives of all those who perished that night. How did the idea evolve and what was your aim when you first began researching it?
Yeah, so originally I just wanted to like, it was personal really, to find out about the history, and because I've always lived in the city, so it was something quite interesting to me. But then I'd done all the research and I was like, well, what am I going to do with it now? And then I was like, I'll put it into a book and just go from there. And I self-published it and had a couple of people read through it. And yeah, it's been selling. So yeah.
It is such a sad night of Coventry's history, isn't it? I mean, I know when I was growing up, my mum and dad would talk about the Blitz and how it affected the city as a whole. And we lost older family, obviously now the older family members, and it was devastating. I mean, you might not know, but we had like 500 tons of bombs which had dropped in a single night on the city centre, and it was destroyed, weren't it? So when you began digging into the records, what kind of material were you working with, and how did you find these precious personal details and the photographs? I just had a quick look at the book and there is some brilliant photographs in there, ain't there? So how did you find all that?
So first point of call was obviously Coventry Archives, and I went through lots of documents about like the victims, their death certificates, all of that sort of thing. And then I did a bit of Googling and found out like other websites that have put that sort of thing up. I then put every single one of the victims individually into Ancestry and made a tree for them.
Wow.
And looked at like their jobs in the 1939 census and their parents and if they grew up and survived, if they had kids and got remarried and that sort of thing.
It's incredible that you put all that work in. And looking through the book, it's brilliant because it is in all in alphabetical order, which I'm going to go through some in a bit. It must have been incredible moving for you, seeing their faces, their names come to life after so many years. Was there a particular moment during your research that really stopped you in your tracks emotionally?
Yeah, so there was obviously lots of police officers and firemen. So, for example, there was a couple of firemen that stood out. So there's Dennis Brown, and he was only 19, and he was actually in the fire station at the time when the fire station got bombed. And then there were other ones that were firemen, so like Frederick Morris, he was 20. And then there were like whole families wiped out. So this was a family on Fosel Road, and it was the mum, Dorothy, the daughter who was aged 4, Barbara, and then the youngest victim that we know of was Arthur, he was aged 3.
Wow.
And they were in the Fosel Road Union shelter, so a lot went on in Fosel Road actually.
Yeah, Fosel Road got hit quite a lot, didn't it? If my memory serves me right. I mean, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? But all you got to do is at the moment listen to the news around the world and we see some of this stuff, but it was devastating for the city at the time, wasn't it? Like you said, a lot of families lost members.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost cousins and uncles and that lot. And you just said the name there, Frederick. That's my middle name. And my great granddad, his name is Frederick. And I know that he didn't survive the night. So it's just mad, isn't it? But your book is called The 14th of November, 1940, A to Z. And you literally go through the victims alphabetically. That's not easy for me to say, from A to Z with each of their own story. So you just touched on a couple of people there, the firemen. So it was the Fraser Road fire station, didn't it? It bombed a lot, weren't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and when you see the pictures of the cathedral, how that got bombed, it's mad. I mean, it really brings home that these weren't just stickers. There was original Coventry folk, each with their own world, that was suddenly shattered. And then Coventry became known around the world for not just for that, but it's also resilience. I mean, I'm going to come back and talk about some more in a moment, and we're going to try and pick out some names from your books just to see how it is. Straight after, we listen to John telling us about his show tomorrow.
Hello, I'm John O'Farrell. I present my show at Easy Listening on a Wednesday evening. Easy for who? I hear you cry. Well, not for me, that's for sure. I've been known to lose half a stone on a bad evening. Things sometimes go wrong. Sometimes. But enough of me. It's you, the patients, we're here for, and Easy Listening is, I hope, a good description. A mix of music, down all the years, some reminiscing, some stories, a bit of culture, tales of old Coventry, and new Coventry for that matter. So I'm here most weeks, Wednesday evening, 5 till 6.30. Have a listen. You never know, you might get to like me.
And that's a fantastic show that is, John. I love listening to that when I'm at home, just making dinner normally. So, like I said, we're known now, Coventry's now known, and the phrases, the spirit of Coventry, still means something today. How do you think that spirit shows itself in your book, Grace, and in the way the city remembers?
Yeah, so obviously there's the Blitz Museum at Coventry Cathedral, which is only open during the holidays and some weekends for special occasions. But when you go in there, you're really like transported back in time. And they obviously talk a lot about the victims and that sort of thing, so that's really important.
That's in the old cathedral, isn't it, down the stairs?
Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times. I mean, they got some good artefacts on show, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame it's only open in school holidays, really, I suppose, but haven't opened all year, they need volunteers, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Moonlight Sonia connection, the code name given by the Luftwaffe, I can't even say it, I've got the wrong teeth in, is a Chilean poetic. How does that name strike you when you think about what it represents?
I think like there was a lot of like beauty in the music and that sort of thing, and obviously the Germans, they came over and they were planning on bombing the city, and it caused a lot of destruction and victims to be killed, and it was very poetic in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the film The Enigma Code, and what I understand from it, I know it's a film and sometimes things are dramatised, but Winston Churchill, they cracked the code, so they knew about the bombing before it happened, but they couldn't do anything about it because they didn't want the Germans to know that we cracked the code. So it was like, save the many by sacrificing the few. And I suppose nowadays it'd be all, wouldn't we, if we did that and we let it happen. But in the overall scheme of things, Coventry had to be bombed, so the Germans wouldn't know we had the code cracked, weren't it? But
yeah.
It just seems mad, really. You managed to take a history event that has often spoken about in terms of damage and dates and made it deeply personal. Do you ever feel a sense of responsibility, almost a duty, to the people you were writing about?
Yeah, definitely, because a lot of the stories about the Blitz were about the cathedral or the buildings, and like even London Road Cemetery and the communal grave. It's all just a list of names.
Yes.
And it was actually giving them people a story and a voice in the book. So yeah.
How long did it take you to not only write the book but also the research? It must have took you many months.
Yeah, it took me about a year and a half in total. And obviously I was doing my photography and stuff alongside, so it wasn't like every week I was looking at it, but it was just something I really enjoyed, so I didn't really mind. It was something I wanted to do.
Not being rude, and that, you don't look very old. so how old are you? And also for a younger person to take this on, and it is the first book of its kind, isn't it, where you write down people and their story.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. So what made you, I know you said you're photography now, but What was driving ambition to do it? Because, like I said, you're not very old.
No, so I'm 22 now. I was about 20 when I wrote it. But it was kind of like through university and looking at like the history of things, and with my photography projects, I was very interested in the history behind things and the stories behind things. And then obviously the cathedral and that connection, and just interested in the city's history and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I mean, the cathedral's fantastic, isn't it? Especially now, because it's like, it's in a ruin, isn't it? I know the new cathedral's really nice, but I always used to sit in the old cathedral and just sit there and I just felt relaxed. And it's a place where you can reflect, can't you, on the history of Coventry and that lot. Which has done me good over the years. My regular listeners know sometimes things can be hard, isn't it? And having somewhere you can go and just feel a little bit relaxed is good, isn't it? You must have had long nights by yourself poring over old records. Was there ever a moment you thought, oh, I can't do this, it's too emotional?
Yeah, there were definitely like certain cases, like especially younger people and even like people like my age that were out there like the firemen, for example, doing their duty, and they just got killed one night.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were definitely like reading the stories and what people were saying about like eyewitness records and things like that that were written down from survivors. It was very like thought provoking and emotional at times. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people was wardens, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they when the air raid sirens went off, they'd walk around, wouldn't they, and make sure there's no lights on. And quite a lot of them sort of like fell to the bombs, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also for the, not only for the people who passed away and died that night, it's also for the survivors. I mean, my wife's auntie Pat, she hated fireworks. So she couldn't go to fireworks displays. When they happened on November the 5th, it used to bring back really bad memories, because she was a baby, and she can remember being in a pram in Birmingham when they got hit and that lot. So it has a lasting effect to the survivors, isn't it? And just imagine losing your family and then waking up next day and you're okay and they're not there. It's mad, isn't it? Mad. How many people responded to your book so far, especially families who discovered relatives inside its pages?
Yeah, so I've sold about 300 copies so far, and it's gone all across the world, including Australia and the USA. It's been requested by like British Library and the University of Cambridge Library and that sort of place as well.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I sell a lot of them like in person. So I did like a stall at the Belgrade, and it was a book event, and this woman came up to me. She was like, "Oh, I'm interested in that," and she took it to the cafe downstairs and read it. And she goes, "I found my relative in it," and I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "I knew he died that night, but I didn't think he'd be in there." And it's nice to know, like, there's things like his height and descriptions about him that were on the death certificates.
Oh wow!
That like she'd never known, so it was really nice for her and things. So
to be fair, when I picked the book up, I went straight to Bees and thought, "Oh, I wonder if any of my family's in there and that lot." I mean. That must be nice when the relatives of the people sort of speak to you now, and they're like you just said, "Oh, I didn't think you'd been there, and they're in there." So that must give you not give you a kick, it's one word, but must make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, and that's partly why I did it as well, to make sure that the people here can still remember them and have something for them. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you are interested, but on the, I've got to think now when it is, because I've lost a page, in November, there is a night time, which is a night, I can't remember where it is now. Oh, I can't remember where it is. I'll find it in a minute, because I'm looking at the wrong thing. There's on the Blitz night in Coventry, in the cathedral, there's a special event, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like I don't know what they call it, but it's like a memorial thing for
that's
them.
That's it. See, I'm glad Grace is here, because she rests me. And me, I'll be coming back talking to Grace Bullenham straight after the news and weather. So I'll see you in about 4 minutes. Yeah, that date, which is the 14th of November, and it's in the old Coventry Cathedral ruins, and because it is the night of the Blitz in Coventry, and it's a memorial night, so please pop along if you can. But what's the weather for the next couple of days? Tomorrow it's hot, heavy rain and gentle breezes, highs of 11, lows of 3. It's getting really cold. On Thursday, it's highs of 11 and lows of 10. It's not that bad. Light rain and gentle breeze. Friday, it says drizzle, moderate breeze, highs of 15, lows of 10. So a little bit warmer on Friday, But then on Saturday, light rains and moderate breezes, highs are 12, lows are 6. But I read online today that Scotland is going to get 10 centimetres of snow this weekend. 10 centimetres of snow already in Scotland. I'm glad I live in Coventry.
Weather Watch, Coventry Hospital Radio.
Yeah, like I said, we are joined by Grace Bullingham, and she's the author of the 14th November 1940 A to Z. And it's a book all about the Coventry Blitz, the night that it got bombed by the Germans. And she's put in people who died that night in A to Z order. So Abbott then goes all the way to Zebedee. I don't know if it's Zebedee's name, I just said that. So for those who want to find out more, is the book available locally, perhaps in Coventry Museum, bookshop, Ilsden Library? I know where you volunteer. So if I went in there, could I find the book, and or how can I purchase this book?
Yes, yeah, so the book is sometimes stocked at Coventry Cathedral shop, so it depends if they've run out and that sort of thing, but it's regularly updated. I will be at West Orchards on the 13th and 14th of December, so you can purchase one there for Christmas.
Great, great gift idea, especially if you've got one of the relatives in there.
Yeah, and then you can order it online as well, and it's £9.50 including delivery, and it's at snapperfections.com, but if you just Google the title of the book, it'll come up.
Which is the 14th November 1940 A to Z, and then it would come up there, wouldn't it? Which is brilliant. I mean, if you could say one thing to the people of Coventry listening today, especially younger generations who may only know the Blitz as a chapter in a history book, what would you want them to take away from your work?
Yeah, I'd want them to think of the people as more than names and their stories and the fact that they were people. Because often when you look at a list of names, you just sort of disconnect yourself. And to see that they were people like you and me, and they had lives and they had jobs and they had family, and then all of a sudden it was all gone. And I think it's important to remember them for more than just their name.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And on that note, shall we read a couple out of your book?
Yeah.
So do you want to go first and I'll find one to read?
Yeah, so one that stood out to me was a man called Harry Berry. He's in here somewhere.
He's in our battle order, you should be able to find it.
Here we go. He was a special constable, and he was born on the 12th of January 1906, and he was found dead at 1 a.m. the following morning.
Wow.
And he was called out to Decklewall shop on Jordan Well in Coventry, even though he lived at 60 St George's Road with his wife Mayberry. He was working as special constable at the time, so he was actually on duty for Coventry City Police. And there's a first-hand account of the incident, and it was written by the Deputy Inspector, W.C. Pendleton.
Oh, can you read that to us?
Yeah, so it says, "I respectfully report for your information that during the night of the 14th to the 15th of November 1940, I, with other officers, went to Jordan Well to assist in rescuing a number of persons who were trapped in a cellar under some premises known as Decklewell. Special Constable Berry was there and assisting in the removal of debris which had fallen on the cellar. After some time, I returned to the police office to obtain further assistance, and when I left the scene at Jordan Well, Berry was still there. I was about to return from the police office when I heard a bomb explosion, and a few minutes later I was told by Inspector Ward that a bomb had been dropped on the rescuers. I went there and it was obvious that both rescuers and those who were endeavouring to rescue them had been killed instantly, as a further bomb had dropped and thrown tons of debris onto the spot. Fire broke out and work was abandoned. The following morning, I returned to the scene and I found a cigarette case, pair of spectacles, silver pocket watch and a police whistle. These have been identified by his widow as property of his, and they were in possession of his when he left home to go on duty on the 14th of November 1940. Charred remains of bodies were found, but those were unrecognisable. But I have no hesitation in saying that Berry was there when the bomb dropped and that he was one of the persons killed."
Wow. I mean, that's just, it's just so moving, isn't it? That this young man, this young police special constable, gave a bit of life trying to help other people, and unfortunately another bomb dropped on it. It's just really sad. I'm going to take a moment to pause, because I'm going to tell you what's coming up tonight on CHR, and then we can reflect on that in a moment. At 7 o'clock, we've got Dan Sambal's Happy Hour. 8 o'clock, we've got Fred Setters Dancing Through the Decades. 9 o'clock, we've got Carl Richards' Number Ones of the 70s. And from 10 o'clock, we have CHR Through the Night to help you drift off to sleep. And then we go again in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning with Fish and Harrison's Bear Show from 8 a.m. And it's called Your Show. it just takes you to a place, doesn't it, where you think, oh my God, fancy being a widow and getting the police whistle and his pocket watch. It's just mad. I mean, I'll just pick one out here now because the surname Green is one of my cousin's name. I don't think this is one of my cousins at all, but it just says Brenda Alice Green was 18 years old when she died from a shock at Goulson Road Hospital and was identified by her mother, Evelyn May Green, who she lived with at 212 Hernal Lane East. She was described as being 5'2" tall, a plump build, had brown hair and a fresh complexion, grey eyes and a small short nose and on a round face. I mean, and you got the details from the death certificate, but even at 18 years old, and she obviously must have been some sort of electrical shock and what because it got bombed and that lot. It's just, and there is loads more stories like that. It goes from A to Z. So I'm just going to go to the last one of the book and just read the last person of the book, which is, I think it's Jomans, Frederick Samuel Jomans. Frederick Samuel Jomans died at his home address in Palmerston Road at the age of 70 years old after a bomb explosion. He was born 7th of May 1870 to Samuel Jomans and Hannah, who was Nee Wilton. His occupation was a manufacturer, and he was described as being 5'7" tall. That's really big, okay, because that's how tall I am, so that's nearly 6 foot. Fairly fit build, and then had grey hair, grey eyes, and there is some letters describing him on the next page, and it says, as you're aware, there's about to be passing of Act of Parliament, which remits all estates and other duties payable to the estates of a person who's been killed by enemy action. But before that can be done, a certificate of death has to be produced to the estate office. So that must be so they to get the money in that lot.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's the last person in the book. I mean, just reading the short bits I've been reading while you've been talking, it's such a moving book. Thank you for taking the time to write it, because I know we say now, don't we, about the generation is going to be lost now from the war, and it's going to be not forgotten about, but it won't be talked about like it was with my nan and granddad and my mum and dad. And but books like this will really keep, hopefully bring it home to a sort of thing. And it's just really, really sad. Grace, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your incredible work. The 14th of November 1940, A to Z. It isn't just a book, it's a tribute, a memorial, and a reminder that every day name was a life worth remembering. For everyone who's listening who'd like to learn more, do seek out Grace's book. I said great book, but I meant Grace's book. It's a powerful way to connect with Coventry's past, understanding the strength that still defines our city today. And also, we remember that fateful night. Let's hold in our hearts all those who lost their lives, all those who rebuilt, and the spirit of peace and hope that continues to shine through Coventry to this day. Grace, thank you so much, and thank you, as always, to you listening here on Coventry Hospital Radio. I tell you, it is a touching book, Grace. Thank you so much. But before I'm going to let you go, what's your plans next?
So a lot of people have asked about the other Blitz and the other attacks, and yep. I'm looking into that. But obviously, there's so many other ones that it's not just a case of looking at one date.
Yeah.
So it's taking a bit longer, but yeah, that's something I'm looking into doing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because I mean, Coventry got one of the biggest hits in the history of England, because we was a massive manufacturing city, weren't it? We built the tanks, built the planes, gave them the bullets, didn't we? So we was a prime target, really, weren't we? I mean, there was quite a lot more attacks on Coventry, wasn't there, in the surrounding areas? So how long do you think it's going to be before we see, I ain't going to say book two, but your next book out?
I'm hoping some point next year. It's something that I've been looking into slowly as we're going along. So yeah, hopefully some point next year.
Brilliant. When you got it done, please come pop on. Please pop back in to see us and we can talk about it then.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You've been listening to Grace Bellingham, the author of the fantastic, the 14th of November 1940 A to Z book, all about the history of the Blitz on the Coventry night.
Listen on your smartphone. Download the Coventry Hospital Radio app, free from the App Store.